Well, hello, my friends. Blessed and peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. Guys, it is April the 22nd in the year 2025. This is the 33rd edition of our newly revised Pulse 2025, and I want to welcome you here today. I'm coming at you strong from the studios here at Open Door Church, and I'm back. Yes, I am. I was gone for 18 days to Uganda, East Africa. And let me tell you, friends, we got fresh updates straight from where I'm just coming back from. We also have rescuers who have actually, I should say, rescue kids who have become rescuers. I got some incredible stories of things I came across, incredible things that have happened since then. Plus, we also have some news following up the Easter services here and around the world. And did you know the Pope died? Did you know that Charles Schwab has been replaced? Well, guys, we've got a lot to talk to you about here today, and I want to welcome you here. Guys, joining me is my very good friend, Miss Shay Wilbur.
Welcome back, Pastor.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thanks for taking the pressure off of me by being back, because it's a lot of pressure sitting in that chair.
Come on, man. You did a great job. I saw all the episodes while I was gone.
Well, we missed you.
You did an awesome job.
Thank you.
Thank you. And, man, you had a chick fest up in here one day.
We did.
Right on. And then you had all the boys on one time. And it was really good, I promise.
We tried to hold it down, but we're so excited. I know our ODX family is super excited to hear all of your updates and testimonies. And man, you were there for 2.5 weeks, so I know you've got stories on stories. So I'm excited for us to just, over the next couple of weeks, unpack them and film them and get them out there. Because, I mean, it was such a needed time for you guys, but I'm just excited for everyone to hear how God moved.
You know what? It is going to take me a long time to unpack the past 18 days. But, dude, all those trips are like that. There's just so much redemption and so many miracles and so many things. But the stories I'm going to share today, they're wows.
Yeah.
They are wows. Now, you've been in meetings with me all day long today, starting at 9 o'clock this morning.
Yeah.
We just got done with our last meeting. We came directly to the Pulse. The stories you've heard today are crazy, aren't they?
It's crazy. It is. It's insane. It's just the fruit of 30 years of ministry, 30 years rescuing around the world. Mm. And so it's like the stories that you now have, they're not stories that people can have just from, okay, I just started, I've been doing this for a couple of years. So this is the fruit of 30 years of faithful service to God, 30 years of being the hands and feet of Jesus in countries all over the world and here. So that's what's so unique, I think, about these stories and about what God is doing here.
I'd like to welcome all of our ODX family that are joining us on ODX.TV, is stage 2 and stage 3. And I want to tell y'all this. I took y'all with me. You actually went with me, and I'm going to prove that to you here. And also, we had the Easter weekend services. I got back on Friday.
Yeah.
We had the Easter weekend services, and it was one of the best Easter services we've ever had here. It was so good. And we even had a visit from ODX families all over the United States, including Janelle and Kylie drove all the way up here from Houston, Texas.
Yep.
And let's see here.
Oh,
Janelle
not them.
And Kylie.
That is definitely not Janelle and Kylie. There they are.
That was not Janelle or Kylie. That's Janelle and that's Kylie right there.
They drove up from Houston to be here.
I met a family from Arkansas that drove all the way out. I met a family from Lubbock that drove all the way out.
Yep.
There were so many families and just like, hey, we're part of your ODX team.
So cool.
And so grateful for that. And it was good to see these people here. I'd never actually met them before.
Yeah. And they were so excited to be here. I think they're thinking about even moving up here. So we might be able to see them more regularly. So they're praying about some decisions for Kylie for school. So I'm like, I think the Lord's calling you to this area. That's what I think. But we'll see.
That's you wearing purple right there. Like, look, like you stole that from Batman. And then you have Swanami there.
Swanami looks so cute.
Swanami, who just got back from Mexico herself. And since I was gone in Uganda, she rescued a ton of kids.
Yeah.
And so I haven't even heard all the stories yet.
I
haven't even said, like, you know, you rescue kids in Amazon, you rescue kids in Mexico City, you rescue kids in Chiapas, you rescue kids in Durango, we rescue kids on the border. And I got to get with her this week to hear all of those stories. So
yeah, it's incredible. And just a reminder to everyone watching, maybe you're a part of our family, you've been here for a while, and maybe this is your first time tuning in. Yes, Pastor Troy is a pastor, but really, he always says it. He does church. We do all these things so that we can rescue kids. that's at the heart of what we do. So that's why you hear us talking so much about rescuing and about kids all over the world and getting involved in what we do, because when you partner with us, you are enabling us to rescue kids all across the world every day. You're having an impact every single day on someone's life when you partner with us. So if you want more information about what we do, call the 800 number on your screen, 877-413-0888. There's also a QR code there that you can scan. That's also, by the way, a 24/7 prayer line. So if you're struggling with something or you need someone to stand with you in prayer, you can call that number on your screen as well. But guys, get in the fight, partner with us. And I mean, you're going to hear today, maybe you're on the line, you want to wait until the end of the show. You're going to hear some incredible testimonies of some of the lives that we are able to affect. So please don't hesitate to partner with us and join our ODX family as a stage 2 or 3 partner, and you will not regret it.
Chris Bazance, it's so good to see you here today, man.
It's good to see you, boss.
I'm looking at people from all over the planet, man, that have joined us, and including Kimberly from Palm Bay, Florida. And I see a brother from Kenya, Wycliffe. I bless you. I see Kurt Morgan is here. Hey, Kurt.
Hey,
what's going
Kurt.
On?
Yeah, we know
it's,
him.
He's a typical lead guitarist at Open Door Church, man. A brother can shred. He's awesome. Sarah Spencer is here. Ashton is here making comments. She's in the other room in there. I don't know. We have folks from all over the world.
It's awesome. We had Debbie in Alabama, and we also had something worship flag. It went by so fast in chat, but they're from Woodstock, Georgia, are watching right now.
Okay.
We also have Rhonda in Joshua, Texas.
Hey, Rhonda, big time
and,
J-Town.
Liska in South Africa watching right now. So
that's
pretty
amazing.
Cool.
Way to go. Well, man, I bless you guys, and I want to welcome you to today's broadcast and tell you this, that God Almighty is alive. He is moving. And I'm about to prove to you that Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead. Just in about 25 minutes, my good friend Darren Stott is also going to be joining us from Seattle. And he actually had a witch invade his Easter services.
What?
And yes,
really?
He did. And he's going to tell us all about it. And that's
wow.
Kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I've actually been invited to do a bunch of witch shows since my Tony Merkel broadcast came out. You guys are going to tell me this.
Yeah.
All of these Wiccans and witches are like, Pastor Troy, you would never do this. Oh, dude, you listen. We have a team of people that goes to porno conventions, and they witness to people at porno conventions. Like, there is no place we would not go to actually bring the presence of King Jesus and see who we can rescue.
Yeah, when I saw that email, I was like, it was like a pagan podcast. I'm like, okay, here we go. So it's my job to present it to you, these opportunities. And I just had a feeling you were gonna bite on that one and be like, oh, let me get on that. So
there's a bunch.
We'll see.
A bunch
you
of
know
them.
Powerful how they asked. That's the one thing. They're like, we've never heard somebody talk about this topic in that way.
Yeah, that's why
And I
why
can't
they
help but
out.
Believe that the Holy Spirit's not at work in transforming and redeeming them. Mm. At least that's, who knows where it goes.
Yeah.
But like, you hear the way they asked about it was like, that stood out to me. So you got your enemy, all of a sudden God's doing something on their heart to hear the gospel of Jesus.
Oh, yeah. So I've... we've had a lot of run-ins with witches all over the world. And I mean, the pagan thing is growing and growing, and the body of Jesus has to be able to answer that with the goodness of God.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't believe how many of those people that are next level pagans and witches, how many of them are PKs?
Wow, really?
How many of them come out? Wow. It's the same thing, man, with the porno industry. How many of those next level porno stars that are world famous American porno stars, how that their daddies were preachers?
Wow.
And it's like, whoa, you know what? Body of Jesus has got to step up.
Oh. Yeah.
So Cindy McGill does that. She takes teams all over the place and goes to these big giant conventions and does all those things. And so, I'm interested in bringing my voice to those things and just carrying the presence of the Lord there. And we'll see what happens.
You're not afraid to confront it.
Oh, no, I'm not afraid. But there is a battle involved with all of that.
Absolutely.
And so there absolutely is. So that's why, friends, I need your prayers. That's why I need you standing with us. That's why I need you to pray for us and to make declarations. And also, too, man, to stand with us, man. Just go to troybrewer.com and help me rescue kids like the stories I'm fixing to tell you right now. So are you guys ready to do this?
Absolutely.
I am.
Let's do it.
Right on. So what do you want to do first?
You've
been a part of all the meetings today. Both of you guys have.
I say the George story kind of gets me.
George?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's go through this. So I want to tell you that George is a little blind boy in Uganda, East Africa. And he's a very special kid. And that's my grandson, Rooster, standing there next to him. We put him in a special school. We pulled him out of a school that we discovered him in, that where we support the teachers, because the teachers were not getting paid. It's not our school, but I call it ours in a sense of partnership. And I think that that's very important for us to talk about soon after I get through telling you this story. When I tell you that we have over 51, meaning at some points in the year we have 54, and then at some points we don't because they have to be moved. When I tell you that we have 54 rescue centers, we have 4,000 children under our care. Right now we've rescued 11,000 kids. I also want to tell you this, I don't own any real estate anywhere on the planet Earth. We buy it and we give it to our recipient agencies that are actually doing this thing. I have no reason to own millions and millions of dollars worth of land. I have no reason to do that. I got every reason to buy it and to turn it over to the rescuers who are actually doing the kingdom stuff.
And they know the culture. They know everything. They know where and they know how.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm not going in there to wave an American flag. I'm not going in there to build my own empire. I'm going there because the kingdom has come. Amen.
That's awesome.
And so, you know, when you see me, you know, and hey, I'm standing on 700 acres and all the farmland, and we have four tractors, and we have 20-something silos, and they're all filled up, and there's a water well, and there's a school with 1,000 kids, and I don't own any of that. Troy Brew Ministries doesn't own any of that. That money comes straight to us, and it goes right through us, and we make it happen for the boots on the ground that actually do the stuff. That's a big part of the rescuing, the rescuer ministry that we have. So we partner. Before we partner with ministries, we bless them. And that's the big difference between partnership and blessing. Some people you can only bless, you cannot partner with them. When they move into the partnership phase, they have to be held accountable, and it also has to be reciprocal. Yeah. Okay, but in blessing, you bless them. Yeah. Right on. So we bless people before we partner with them, and we vet them. And then a lot of times in vetting them, we're like, oh no, this is not somebody we can partner with. But a lot of times it's like, oh no, these people are better than even I thought they were.
Wow.
So with that said, we're blessing a school, and we saw that there was this little boy that was blind, and he's Barrett's age. He and Barrett are the same exact age. And Barrett came to me, I'm talking about big tears in his eyes, and he, after we met him and we talked, he said, Papa, he's my age, and he's with the little boys. He's a big boy. And he's with the first graders. And he's like, what is that all about? And I'm like, well, he's blind. This is a very poor school. They don't know how to teach him. So he's never been in school before. He's at a different level, and he has to learn from the ground up. And he said, we got to do something. And I said, okay. And I used that right then. I just stopped it. I just looked at that little boy, and I said, all right, Barrett, you tell me. What should we do? He said, we should find a school that can teach blind boys, and we have to help him. And I said, okay, right on. And I said, how do we do that? Well, tomorrow we need to cancel everything, and we need to go find a school. I said, okay, I like that. That's a plan. Then I asked him this, how should we pay for it? Because once we get him into a school, then, man, we got to pay for it. And he said, I'm going to start selling my chicken eggs, and whatever money I make from selling chickens, that'll go to his school.
That's awesome.
I'm going to tell you, Barrett, now, mind you, okay, he's got a daddy and a granddaddy that built a giant chicken pen for him.
After and you heard this, though, right?
After we heard this, and we put an additional 50 chickens in there, okay? And so he doesn't know exactly how the business structure works yet, because all that was like, just given
just
to him. It just appears. But he's 12, okay?
But it's the heart behind it. It's
but
the
he
heart.
Takes those eggs. He goes and feeds them every single day. That's part of his chores. He makes sure they have water. He feeds them, and then he collects the eggs.
Wow.
And then on Sundays, he sells them in the Spark store right here. And they're Barrett's eggs. And what's real is he's made more than enough money to completely fund that kid's entire school effort.
That's awesome.
So hey, here's what I want to tell you.
That is so cool.
If a 12-year-old little boy can figure that out, and if a 12-year-old little boy can say, not on my watch, I'm telling you, we can do that in the body
absolutely.
Of King Jesus.
Wow.
And we can figure it out. And I want to encourage everybody here and tell you this. This money does not go to me. When you call this number or you go to troybrewer.com, look, I get a check that doesn't change. It's just a check. You know, I'm on the payroll. With that said, when you give to this, this money does not go to me. It goes to these kids. And we have so many good, faithful partners, and we're making such a big difference. So we went and found this guy, And we went to his school. I took Barrett there. Barrett saw him in his new surrounding. They bring this cat out. He's walking down. Of course, he's being led by the hand. And he's walking. He's kind of doing the Stevie Wonder, you know, because he's perceiving.
He's trying to figure out where he is.
Exactly right. And I mean, he's listening to everything. He's a genius. He's a genius. And they come walking him out. He's being led, you know, and he's like smiling. He knows somebody is there to meet him, but he doesn't know who. And then we're all around him, and all of us are, because all of us love him. And there's like six adults there, and we're all standing there, and we're all just looking at him, including Barrett. And everybody's waiting, who's going to be the first one to talk? So he stops, and he knows that there's people around him, but he doesn't know who. So he's like anticipating, I'm ready to hear. And I said, hello, George. And he goes, hello, Papa, that quick.
Wow,
he knew.
I mean, I no sooner got the hello, George, out of my voice that he went, hello, Papa.
That's so cool.
Hello, George. And sweet. I hugged him. And as I was hugging him, Leanna said, George, do you remember me? And he said, yes, talking to Mom and Leanna. He said, yes. And then he said this, you came to me like Jesus.
Oh, my gosh. So
like, wow. Of course, Leanna, they had to start bawling, squalling, having an estrogen fat, and I'm over there, my eye holes are leaking.
Yeah, you're.
I'm over there going, oh, that, yeah, I'm trying to get all the way through this, man.
Wow.
And oh my gosh. And so, anyway, man, we hung out with him, and he's just doing so good. He's really doing good.
That's and how what was that like for Barrett to see now George in this new school? He's seeing like the fruit of his efforts.
Well, he responds like a 12-year-old. Mm-hmm. Okay. So which just means he just, you know, he doesn't have a profound thing to say about it, because he's an honest 12-year-old child.
Yeah.
But with that said, in the car coming from there, this is exactly what he said. He goes, I asked him, I said, Barrett, do you understand that the money that you make from every day going to feed those chickens, take care of those chickens, clean out the chicken pen, and collect those eggs, sell them all. Do you understand that George is in school, he's fed, and he's around people that love him, who think he's smart. They don't think he's stupid. They think he's smart. And I'm like, do you understand that that's what makes that happen? And here's what he said. He said, I'm going to sell more eggs than anybody's ever seen. I'm gonna sell more eggs. I'm like, okay, I got
him. Sweet.
I got him. So I mean, like, he gets it. You
that
know?
Is cool.
He's like, man, he's like, no, yeah. I'm committed. I'm gonna sell more eggs. And
look at that.
Farm fresh eggs available at the Spark Store. B4 Farms. So that's there's great. Ben, there's Brandy, there's Barrett and Branch Brewer.
I love
that's
that.
So cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's B4. Cool.
Right on. So that's pretty daggum cool.
Man.
So he's good.
What a testimony. Yeah. And it's so cool. I love that you guys chose to bring him along this trip. And, you know, it just speaks to really the heart of what we do is not just for us or for this generation. It's raising up the next generation, and it's training other rescuers.
Yeah.
And so I just love that, like, you know, we always preach, like, do something with what you have in your hands. And here we have a 12-year-old boy making a difference.
I love the story of legacy because one day we're all going to be gone.
Yeah.
And the church, the mission, you know, rescuing, redemption is still going to need to be done. And we're handing it, putting in capable hands who are seeing it at a young age.
Yeah.
That God can speak to them right now. And then years later, we're all going to be sitting in an old folks' home looking at Barrett, you know, rescuing thousands
seriously,
of kids.
Though,
you know,
he probably will be.
Yeah. Or he'll have 1,000 chickens by then.
Oh, yeah.
He'll have like the biggest chicken farm in the United States.
Well, it just sounds so minuscule to sell a few eggs.
Which
she sells a lot. I mean, we get, you know, we have over 50 chickens. And so, and I'm fixing on the way home today, I'm buying another 30 today.
Oh, wow.
And so.
Where are you putting them when you buy them? Just in the back of your truck?
Well, they'll be in a box.
Yeah.
They're little.
I'm picturing you carrying 30 chickens. I'm like, how does that work?
But they're not 30 grown chickens.
They're just chicks.
Yeah, they're just chicks. So I'm going to stop and get 30 on the way home
cute.
Today.
Cute. Okay.
And,
they just go
in a box. But I have a big cage. I have another cage and nothing's in. I have a big giant cage that I built for raccoons, because I catch so many raccoons out there.
Oh my goodness.
And then I keep them all inside this big giant cage. Like last year I had 10 or 11 all at the same time, and I feed them for a long, long, long time. And then I take them and I make Davy Crockett hats out of them.
I was just going to say, I know this story is not going to end well for the raccoon.
It does not end well. It does not end well. Because those are chicken-killing sons of guns.
I know.
And they sport kill.
Yeah.
And they sport kill. They get in and they just kill every single one of them. And so I've had that happen several different times. And I have decided I am the King David of exterminating the raccoons of Gath in my area. And so, yeah.
So if you ever see us selling raccoon hats in the TBM store,
I don't sell them. I give them away. I actually give them away and say, yes. But I know a lot of people don't like that, and that's fine. Hey, man, that's fine. I promise it's fine. So I really don't care.
If that's the only thing that upsets you, then we're doing good.
I'm doing really good. But with all I said that big, I've got this big giant coon pen and there's nothing in it right now. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go get a bunch more chickens, put them in there, raise them. And then I'll move them up to the chicken pen once they're big. So yeah. So because he wants to sell more eggs and he wants to send all that money. And he's so selfless in it. I'm like, okay, so Are you going to keep 20% of this and you give 80% of it? What are you going to do? And how does that work for you? And he just sat there and he goes, keep any. I said, yeah. And he goes, why would I keep any?
Aww.
I'm like, well, you need to learn how to save money and all that. And his attitude was, you save money for me. I'm sending all this to.
Wow.
Wow.
So he said, I was like, yeah, okay. I'm going to have to talk to him about that when he gets older, about, hey, how business works and all that. Mm-hmm. But I want to tell you, not at the expense of him having a giver's heart.
No. Mm-mm.
It's just like his dad, his knucklehead daddy, who had surgery last week.
Ben
had
a major. That's why he's not up here. He literally could not get up steps,
you know.
Yeah.
He's walking around like Joe Biden right now. He just barely steps. And so, man, he gets up. He had gallbladder surgery, and when he was a kid, his first major job that he got was working at Kroger, and he was 16 years old, and he got his first paycheck, and then he got a second paycheck, and when he got his second paycheck, I looked at it, and there was only like 20-something bucks on it, and the brother was going, it was like $17 or something. I'm like, where's the rest of your money? Oh, no, Dad, that was just all the money that came in, you know. And he's going to work every single day after he gets out of school and working for 4 or 5 hours every day.
Yeah.
I'm like, where's the rest of your money? And he goes, I don't know, Dad. That's all the money they give. I was like, okay. So I get up. I go up to Kroger, where the brother works. I ask to speak to the manager. And the guy's like, I had a feeling you was going to come in and talk to me. And I said, yeah. And he said, come in here. I want to talk to you. So in the store manager's office, he had this glass that you couldn't, you know, it's like two-way mirror thing. You could see the rest of the store. And we're sitting up there. And he was like, watch him. Just watch him. And like, what? And I'm like watching him. He said, yeah. He goes, I'll watch him. And he said, yeah. And he goes, he's a good kid. Everybody loves him. He could do this, do that better. But just watch him. He does his job. And he's bagging groceries and all this kind of stuff. And I said, what am I looking for? He said, if you sit here and watch that kid long enough, he will find an old person who doesn't have enough money for their food. And he says, just take it out of my check.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
That's a true story.
Awesome.
And I was just sitting there. And he goes, I have really struggled. He goes, I've talked to my wife about your son over and over again. I've really struggled on, should I stop him from doing that? Because he's not making any money. And he said, he works all day. And he goes, now the word is out among all the old people.
Oh no.
And they look for him.
Oh my goodness.
And he said, just watch him. Cause he'll go, that's okay. I'll pay for that. That's okay. I'll pay for that or whatever. And Ben was paying for all the old people's food out of his paycheck.
Wow.
And so I when I took him home that day, I really struggled. Is the most important thing to talk to him about his business strategy for how to take care of himself?
Yeah.
Or is the most important thing to actually talk to him about, I'm your daddy and I see your giver's heart and I love that. And man, I just like, how can I save him from Jesus?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to save him from Jesus. I'm not going to. However, I will help him come up with different strategies. And I was like, dude, we got a food bank. We have a food bank. And what you do is if these people, if they need this or they need that or they need this, if you build a relationship with them, tell them to come up here to the Kroger parking lot on Saturday. You go get your truck and go load up food for the food bank and come down here and give it to them. And so we started working it out.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to save him from Jesus. I didn't want to keep him from having a giver's heart. Hmm. It's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. It's cool. I think you said it, legacy, Chris. It's like, it's just, this is part of the legacy that you guys are leaving behind and that you're sowing into. And on that note of legacy, another story that I've heard bits and pieces of from your trip is the story, and I don't want to give the punchline away, but a little girl that you rescued that you had no idea who she would turn out to be. Yeah. So I think you got to share the story from your perspective.
Bridget has an incredible mama who's an incredibly selfless person. And when you are a poor missionary, you find out where you can stay and who are the people that will help you. And I had friends all over the world that's where you stay. You know, Patrick Ruhuruza was one of those people. David, who, and by the way, Patrick runs our baby rescue center now, you know, and he and I are in business together. I mean, we have a security company, you know, of armed guys in Uganda and all that kind of stuff. Well, that 25 years ago, he was one of the guys. He was the guy that would just interpret for me. And this actually 30 years ago, he would interpret for me and all that. Well, Musichwa is somebody else who is incredibly selfless and just she was a single mom. I'm sorry, her name's Hadija. And Hadija was a single mama. She had this beautiful little girl. And in the midst of her helping us, she mentioned, "You guys live in Texas?" She said, "Yeah." And she said, "I have some family that lives in Arlington, Texas. Is that far from you?" Mm-hmm. I went, "No, it's not." And she said, "Well, they have arranged for me to get a visa to come visit America and I could stay with them. Do you think you could help me with that?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, we can." So we helped her with that. She brought Bridget over and they came and they stayed at our house.
And when was that?
That was, that would have been around 2004.
Okay.
Something like that.
It's a while ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago. And 2004, 2005 was when that was. So they stayed with us and they ended up getting an extension. They stayed with us for months. And then they stayed with us over Christmas.
Wow.
And them being Ugandan, they had never been, you know, been a part of a big American Christmas and all that. And so we do our big annual, we rescue kids in Mexico. We feed and give toys to over 3,000 children. I literally snuck them across the border. Literally, we went into Mexico. And back in the day when we were like, man, there's, you know, let's go do this. So we went and did that. They fed people. They worked in the trash dump with me, that beautiful little girl. I think that she is the same age as Ben.
Yeah, that's what he was saying.
Okay, so she's the same age as Ben. So Ben was little. The twins, of course, were smaller and all that. Okay, the next year they came back and they spent the Christmas with us again. The next year. And then it wasn't very long after that. Just life happened and I lost track with them. Mm-hmm. Okay. 2016, 2017, I was coming back from Israel. And when I came back from Israel, I had a 2-day layover in London. So I got set up. I'm friends with lots and lots of African churches over there because we've been doing missions in Africa for so long. And I'm like, hey, this guy's pastor church here. This guy, and I got set up. And this pastor, his name is Lincoln. Lincoln said, he's a Ugandan brother. And he said, "Hey man, I would love for you to meet with my ministry team and just pour into them and let them ask you questions." I went, okay. Because, you know, now, you know, we're seeing success. My book was selling like crazy and I was on television now. And it's like really different than what everybody had experienced before. So I go there, sit down. I tell them my story. We go through this whole deal. They start asking questions, just about 20 people. And I had noticed this girl in the room. She was sitting right in front of me. And this beautiful, beautiful Ugandan girl. And she's sitting there next to this guy, and they're obviously a part of the leadership team. And somebody said, "Pastor Troy, what's it like for your kids? You know, once you rescue them, what's it like for them and how are they taken care of? And tell us about that." And then this girl said, "I can answer that." And she's sitting there and she just starts crying and she's looking at me and I'm just looking back at her and I don't know how she can answer this. And she said, "When I was a little girl, they fed me, they clothed me, they took care of my mom, they did this, they did that, they did that. They took me with them when they went and fed other people. They took me with me to Mexico." And when she said that, I'm looking at her and I said, "Bridget?" And she said, "Papa Troy." And she came over and she gave me this huge hug. And she was literally the reigning Miss Uganda.
Wow. That's cool.
There's a, you brought this video.
That's her.
Wow. Yeah, that's her. And there she is putting on the crown.
Wow.
And
she is a rescued kid.
Yeah.
You rescued her and her mom.
Well, I didn't rescue her from trafficking. That's her last week. I was with her and she came to the hotel and she came and found me. And she spent the day with Leanna and I in Kampala.
You didn't know she was even going to find you in Africa.
She came walking up and I was on the phone with Bill whenever she came walking up and she's like, Papa Troy. And I was like, Bridget, because I haven't seen her since 2017.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh. It was crazy.
So she just heard that you were in Africa and was like, I got to figure out where he's staying. Yeah.
The only thing I can tell you what is like, what was that like? It's like you died and went to heaven and saw somebody that you love with all your heart and you hadn't seen them in 20 or 30 years.
Yeah.
I just started bawling.
Oh, that's cool.
Anyway.
That is so cool.
Yeah. It's pretty daggum cool, man. And
now she's a part of our family.
And now she's part of our family. And also too, we actually hired her.
Yeah.
She's going to work for our ministry over
there.
How
cool is that to have?
She's going to go around to all of our rescue kids and get their story. Because even though she's not Miss Uganda anymore, you know, because you only reign for a year.
Right.
She still hosts the Miss Uganda show. Mm-hmm. She actually is the one. That she is a public figure. And then also she's going to go to all of our rescue centers and meet all of our rescued kids. And it's just going to be crazy.
Man, that is awesome.
Plus, man, she's a nurse and she works with special needs kids. And we have so many special needs kids. You know, a lot of the kids that we rescue out of trafficking are... They have very special issues. And so with her being a nurse and specializing with special needs kids, she'll be able to do that.
Man.
So it's a big wow. And guys, I want to tell you this story. This is two small stories out of so many stories, not just from Uganda, but from all the other places where we're doing the work. I think that while I was gone to Uganda, we rescued another 4 children in Mexico and in Central America. And I think the possibility of a 5. And I know that there's 2 more that we're about to rescue, that there's an operation that's happening. Wow. And so if all that happens, that'll be 7 kids just since I left for Uganda. And that's not the kids that we were rescuing in Uganda, which I haven't even got to tell you those stories yet, including my friends that have leprosy and all those kinds of things. Dude, this is what redemption looks like.
Amen.
This is what that's Jesus right. looks like. Man, whenever you take somebody who is shamed and they're messed up and they don't have anything in the world and you bring them into a place of dignity where they can sit at the table with their peers, that's what redemption looks like. It's one thing to rescue a kid, which is amazing. I promise you that's so important. It's another thing to walk them through the entire process of restoration until they're redeemed and they actually become rescuers themselves, bringing the Redeemer. And that's the fact, so cool. Jack, as the prophet Bill Murray once said a long time ago.
That is so cool.
Well, praise the Lord. Well, I can see so many people are here all over the place. And you know what? I have, there's a way we wanted to seg into this. It was something you wanted me to do.
Well, we were going to, if you want to, we could talk about Easter and show the part of our video from our Easter service.
Okay.
You wanted to talk about that with Pastor Darren.
You know what? We're about to have Pastor Darren Stott from Eden Church in Seattle, Washington. He's going to tell us about, he had something really crazy happen on his Easter Sunday. A witch came and put a curse on him. And I'm about to talk to you about that. And I'm going to talk to him about it as well. But I want to tell you, this last Sunday, we had our Easter services and there were thousands of people here. The Spirit of God moved in an incredible way. I still haven't got all the totals of people that actually got saved and signed up for the whole salvation package where we send a Bible and we set them up for discipleship and all those kinds of things. But dude, it was powerful. It was craziness. And in the midst of all that, we also showed a video of things that we're doing all over the planet Earth. It is that video, right?
Yeah.
And Pastor Pauline got up and she sang. We had Russell sing the week before and he did an amazing job. And then we just showed videos, and the videos that you're about to see are part of the things that we do, including dig water wells, which, guys, last week we dug our 1,000th water well. That's 1,000 water wells. That's crazy.
Amazing.
So cool.
I mean,
so
that's past ridiculous. And so, like, how many people, I can tell you this, where I was just staying at, okay, near Kanjojo, West Uganda, there's two water wells there, and we serve over 50,000 people.
Wow.
With two water wells.
Holy
50,000 people.
Oh my goodness.
Plus the 1,000 kids that go to our school every single day.
That's amazing.
At the Leanna Brewer Legacy Center. So imagine how many people does 1,000 water wells serve every day? I mean, gosh. So this is part of our story. This is part of your story because you support us, because you stand with us, because you pray for us. We showed the whole world this on Sunday. Watch and listen to this.
Do you feel the world is broken? And do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark will stop the light from getting through? And do you wish that you could see it all made new? All creation groaning, is a new creation coming, is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst, is it good that we remind ourselves of it?
Well, I'm saying he is worthy. And I want to tell you, this video is actually over 6 minutes long, and you can find it at odx.tv, all of it. And what I'd like to do sometime is actually watch this with you and just talk through it and go, oh, let me tell you where that's at. Let me tell you. All these videos are videos that we ourselves have taken. And I mean, those are our videos. Those are our people. Those are our rescues. And these are also your stories. So guys, call the number, call 877-413-0888. Get in the fight because, man, the fight is real and so is redemption.
Yes.
Okay. Well, guys, can we just do this?
Yeah, we've got a friend waiting.
Joining me all the way from Seattle, Washington, is my good friend, Pastor Darren Stott. Pastor Darren, what's going on, man? Okay.
Oh, you're on.
Wait. Yep. Man, we're looking. You're muted. Are you muted? Yeah.
He's going to be joining us
yes.
in sign language.
I am fluent in sign language, but apparently you're not. So I guess I'll use my microphone today. Happy Easter. Welcome home, Pastor Troy. Woo! We love you. We love Leanna. We missed you. And just sitting here trying not to cry, hearing the testimonies, watching that video. God is so good. God is so good, and I love how the kindness of God is being demonstrated through you and Open Door.
Man, I thank you. And you know what? You're a huge partner with us. Your church has given us, I honestly, I don't even know what the number is, but you guys have partnered with us in such a sacrificial and faithful way through the years. Pastor Darren, this story is also your story, buddy, and I'm so grateful for you, man. Thank you.
Well, I've I've been changed and transformed. I mean, our church has been changed and transformed just from the testimony of Jesus through your life, Pastor Troy, and through Leanna. And so we have you guys come in into Seattle every year to really leave an impartation at our place. But then I always try to get to your guys's place so I can receive that impartation. I was just with you guys there when we shot the TV show The Counter. And once again, I mean, I remember we were shooting one day and you interrupted the shoot and you said, "We got to get everybody together. I got an announcement to make." And you grabbed the whole staff and the whole church and you interrupted the whole shoot. We were supposed to be shooting all these shows. We had a very busy shoot schedule and you interrupted the whole thing. And you brought everybody together to make a big announcement and you brought everyone together. You said, "Guys," and you had been talking about these two girls ever since we landed. You'd been talking about these two girls and your heart was breaking for them because you knew of these two girls. You knew of what was taking place in their lives. You guys had surveillance on these girls. The one girl, I think the 12-year-old, she had 16 visitors in one day.
Yep, that was on Saturday. That was on Saturday. And the day that I made this announcement with you was on either Monday or Tuesday, yep. I think.
Monday.
And man, 16, on the Saturday, we had observed that little girl had been trafficked. The 12-year-old child had been trafficked 16 times in that one day. In that one single day. And man, I want to tell you, it was killing me, man. I was just like, we have got to rescue her, man.
Yeah. And you were sharing with us, it's quite the world that you live in, man. Everything that you're up to and how you're able to balance all of these, you're able to balance the energy and excitement of hosting a TV show while carrying this super heavy burden of knowing that there are these two girls and you're having to wait to rescue them. And on that particular day, you pulled everyone together because you had just received the message that these two girls had been rescued. And we just came together just to celebrate the Lord and his goodness. We celebrated that testimony. We had the clip of you, Pastor Troy, when you broke the news to the team. And it was so cool getting to be there when you broke that news. And so we had that clip and we showed it at our Easter service on Sunday.
Wow.
And the place just went nuts. It was so cool. Think about this, to celebrate the power of the resurrection and to celebrate the power of the resurrection through the rescue of these two girls, that this has taken place because of the Church of Jesus Christ and because of your ministry, Pastor.
Gosh, man, that's amazing. So awesome. I had no idea that you guys did that. My team's actually looking up that video right now so we can share it with everybody that's watching right now.
Awesome.
But you came down, man, to actually film a brand new television show with us, and that's going to be coming out this fall. And for us to be able to just stop what we're doing, because, man, I'm watching in the midst of, we filmed 10 episodes. And they're hour-long episodes. And in the midst of that, I'm watching
we're
my
like,
phone.
All five of us are easily distracted.
Yes.
And so to be able to get something done is truly supernatural.
Yes, it was supernatural. Me and you and, let's see, Brian Schwartz and Tony Merkel and Joseph Z and Pastor Alan DiDio. We got together and we filmed this crazy show. And you guys will be hearing all about it. We're going to be, just wait. I honestly think it's going to be the best show I've ever been a part of in my whole life. And even though you're on it, like, Pastor.
It seems like you created the kind of show that you would actually want to watch.
Yeah,
that's just, it seems like Troy Brewer finally created the kind of TV show that he would want to watch.
That's right.
Versus just creating the kind of show that you think or hope other people want to watch. I think a lot of times in media, it's like, what do people want? Let's try to give people what we want. But what you did there is like, it was like, this is something that you think is really cool. And it's going to resonate with a lot of people.
Oh, the subject matter. I mean, we went through the Word of God concerning the last days. We went through the Word of God concerning the AI agenda. We went through Nephilim. We went through, aliens. We went through, all kinds of craziness, prophetic things, dreams. We did a whole episode on dreams. It was crazy. Like, this is the stuff I love to talk about. And man, we did it. And so I can't wait to, but in the midst of all that, we had this crazy thing that was going on where I'm watching this thing in Mexico going, man, I thought an hour ago they were going to be rescued, or I thought 3 hours ago. And it's like, come on. And to be very frank, the people in the government that we were working with, did you guys find that clip? Yeah, so y'all did find it, and you're actually loading it up?
Yep. Okay. Yeah. We'll put it in the comments.
Okay. Well, are you? Well, I'd like to show it here in just a minute, if it's possible.
We can do both.
So if you guys will do that.
Let us know what's about it.
But in the midst of all that, I actually got with, there was the people in Mexican government that we're working with, their plan was to do surveillance for another period of time because they're trying to shut down this whole pornography ring and trafficking ring that involves these children, and which meant that they were going to have to continue to observe who all was coming to visit these kids and where they're coming from. And I called them on Sunday between church services. While I'm up here preaching the gospel, I'm on the phone, and I honestly said, listen, with all due respect, if you do not rescue that little girl tomorrow, I am paying a group of people to go kick down the door and to go in there and to rescue them. And then it's going to be a mess. And you guys are going to have to deal with the mess. It's not my country. It's y'all's country. I love you guys. I support you. But I cannot live with me knowing how that child is being abused. And I'm not going to sit on it for another 2 weeks. I am literally sending somebody tomorrow if you do not rescue them. So they said, okay, don't do that. Don't do that. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. So in the midst of me preaching at Open Door Church Services, and in the midst of us filming all of this stuff, I'm watching my phone, and it's crazy cool. I think that we have...
We're trying to get it.
Okay, so can you guys give me an ETA?
Yes, Mom.
So are you guys... No? Okay, so you know what? Hopefully I can share that with you guys later on. They're going to load it up. But you did get to be a part of it, and you shared it on Sunday, right?
Yeah, it was amazing. And so just being there... And that's one of the things I love is being there at Open Door. Every time I've been there, this kind of thing takes place. We'll be doing something. We'll be shooting something. Somebody will run into the back door and say, hey, we just received money to build two wells, and everybody will just celebrate. Or, hey, we just got notice that we just rescued a child, and everybody celebrates. And or we just, so you guys have really carved out a culture of celebration. And I would imagine that doing what you guys do, it'd be easy to almost have like a heavy spirit. Because of the subject matter and the stories that you guys are wrestling with. I know that for every time you have a victory, that you must have so many stories where they didn't end the way that you had hoped. And yet you guys have so guarded your culture there, where it's a culture of celebration. And you do such a good job at that, Pastor Troy, of just keeping everybody focused on the right thing and really celebrating the testimony of Jesus in it. And how rare is it to have a supernatural culture, but a culture where you're actually doing things physically on the earth? So many times it's like the supernatural kind of thing that we're in. Everything that we're doing is kind of done in the heavens without necessarily a whole lot of accountability for transformation on the earth. But you've created a culture there where you're engaging heaven and transforming the earth. And that is so rare, so needed.
Well, thank you, man. Gosh almighty. Well, so two things on that. Number one is we don't want to just be a humanitarian effort. We want to be a move of the kingdom of heaven. And then secondly, we don't want to just be about supernatural things. We want to be able to practically see redemption happen and then point at it like King Jesus and say, now the kingdom of heaven looks just like that. If we preach, but if we can't point to something and say the kingdom of heaven looks just like that, I think that we ought to be plumbers or VCR repairmen or something else. We got no business having a pulpit and preaching the gospel with a congregation of people that are not activated. And I have a real, you know, you're very much like that. And that's one of the reasons why our congregations love each other so much. And we're so compatible, even though we're nearly 2,000 miles away from each other. Just tell you this, that you do that as well. And you do it so well. And I'm so grateful for you, buddy.
Ah, thanks, man. Love you too, bro. Love you too, man.
Okay, so on Easter Sunday, you guys had your big gig, and you're Mr. Overachiever. You had two Saturday services and three Sunday services.
I thought that everybody just did that. I thought that this was like what you had to. I thought that literally a real good friend of mine, mega church pastor here in the Northwest, said to me, "Bro, you don't have to have a Good Friday service. You don't have to." Yeah. He's like, "Dude, I only do Sunday. Like at our church, we do Sunday, and we will have like 50% growth." And I was like, "Are you serious? Like, I thought you just had to do all this stuff." So we did it this year. I don't know if we'll do it this way next year, but it was a great weekend, huge outreach to our community. We had 2,000 people register, over 1,000 kids showed up. On Sunday, we had 45 decisions for Christ,
wow,
which for us was a real, real, real big deal.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
You know, I was walking down, about to enter the building at our third service. And when I did, there was a lady that I know well, part of our church. She's scheduled to have knee surgery and she's leaving the church. She comes out of the sliding doors and she's walking alongside of her walker. So she's not behind it. She's walking alongside of it. And awesome. Her knee brace is in her carry bag. So she's got this big knee brace.
Come
she's
on.
Not wearing it. She's got a big smile on her face. And she said, "Pastor Darren, I got my Easter present." I said, "What's that?" She goes, "Well, I don't have to go in for surgery now."
Oh my!
And so I grabbed my phone. I said, "We're doing a video." We shot a testimony video. And she said, "I'm scheduled for surgery. Jesus totally healed my knee. I don't have to go in." That was just amazing. And so it's so funny, you know, when I was with you, Pastor Troy, just a couple of weeks ago, I was under attack from the crazy woke mob here in our area because of standing up for our mayor and everything that we're involved in. But right now, I'm getting just attacked by all these witches in the area. And so I literally had a death threat yesterday that Facebook censored. You know, when they censor a comment,
yep,
it makes it go gray so people can't see it. And so it said, "You're going to get murdered, you," and then it just cussed me out. Another guy, I left this comment up there. He goes, I deliver you into the merciful hands of Satan."
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah. So anyways, and okay, then there's a, yeah. And so that's all this stuff that is, that I haven't seen like this before. And so that accumulated into what happened after our third service, after all these victories. Dude, we had full-blown deliverances happening at the altar. I haven't seen that on Easter Sunday before, where people are just getting set free of demons. So God is just moving in power, and that's what set things up for this kind of this witchy, crazy encounter at the end of the day.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. It's time for us to go behind the veil, which is exclusive to our stage two and our stage three people. And we're going to go behind the veil, and we're actually going to share that and have questions and answers with all of our partners. And we're going to do that with them. For those of you guys that are screaming right now, "No, no, no, please don't." Here's what we're saying. Please join us. Please join us in helping us rescue kids throughout the world. Join us like Pastor Darren has and his entire congregation, and you join hundreds of thousands of people who have stood with us and said, "You know what? Not on our watch," because we're about to go behind the veil. As we do this, I would like to show you the actual video that he's talking about, where we stopped filming of our brand new show that's going to be in the fall time. It's going to be released in the fall time. And it's where we knew that this 12-year-old child and her 15-year-old sister had been delivered and set free. Watch this.
For a long time, and this has been going on for several weeks. There's two little girls that we are desperately trying to rescue, a 12-year-old and a 15-year-old child. And the 12-year-old, we're documenting how many times a day that these children are being abused by different people. One day last week, she had 16 different visitors, this 12-year-old child. She got up at 5 o'clock this morning. She's been working on this today, and we just rescued both of them. We got the 12-year-old and the 15-year-old. That's incredible. That's a big, big, big breakthrough that we've needed to happen. And that just now happened.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the name of Jesus. Okay, so that's gotta be prophetic for all of us, right? You know, redemption, rescue, the timing of it. It happened during this prophetic ministry.
Wowzers. All right. So Pastor Darren, that was the moment, right?
Yeah, so awesome, isn't it? That's what we showed on Sunday.
Gosh, man.
And we just celebrated that and celebrated that win.
Yeah, well, it's all of us. It's for all of us to celebrate and to make a big deal out of the right thing, right?
Amen.
So right on. So we're about to
About making a big deal out of the right thing. Before we go behind the veil,
what?
We have a little surprise for Pastor Troy. We've been waiting for you to get back from Africa.
Can I eat it?
It's not something you can eat, unfortunately, no. But I thought it would be fun to give this to you. While we have Pastor Darren with us, you've got a nice sparkly bow on it.
I got a nice sparkly. I need everybody to see this.
Yeah.
Nice sparkly bow. Okay, I know what this is.
Yeah.
This, Darren, is from YouTube. All right.
I think you open it from the front.
I'll open it from the
other
front.
Other front.
Have you already seen it?
I mean, I might have. I had to make sure. I had to take a look at it.
Okay, so here's what it says, Pastor Darren. Do you remember your first subscriber, your 100th or your 1,000th? Chances are you do, and we know that you'll definitely remember your 100,000th subscriber. Your fans may have found you while searching YouTube, learned about you through a friend, or maybe you showed up as a recommended video. No matter how they came to your channel, your audience stayed and their numbers increased because of you and the community that you built. We're proud to honor your impressive milestone of reaching 100,000 subscribers with the Silver Creator Award. Congratulations. And here we go.
Yay.
Come on, man, dude.
Oh, yeah.
God,
you
it's
can take
cool,
it out.
Man. Can you just take it
yeah,
out?
Yeah, take it out.
Woo! Look at this.
That's awesome.
Look at this.
Oh, come on.
That's
awesome.
Cool.
Come on, man. That's cool.
That is
man.
Awesome.
Gosh,
you got to install that. You got to install that on the wall right behind you. So we, in every episode of The Pulse, we always see it tormenting our small YouTube platforms.
Well, it says presented
awesome.
To Troy Brewer. For passing 100,000 subscribers. How many subscribers do we have now?
Let me see. I was going to say 160 something.
168,000 subscribers just since we've hit this milestone. So, man, guys, I want to just tell you, everybody who is a part of us, everybody that subscribes on YouTube, you are indeed a media missionary. And, guys, I want to say this belongs to all of us. And I just think it's so cool, man. Wow, man. Come on, brother. Come on. Man, that's cool.
Yay.
Okay, man, I'm in, man. That's crazy cool. Well, now I'm going to have glittery all over me. And everybody's going to be saying, did you
the
see
Holy
that weird
Spirit.
Supernatural thing, man? Yeah. I swear he had like silver glitter on him.
Yes.
Well, let's go behind the veil and let's finish this conversation of how witches have been attacking you and how do we stand against that? Because today I was invited to do a whole bunch of witches podcasts.
Wow.
Yeah, I was invited to do that today. And I want to talk to you about it, and which is crazy cool. So we'll go behind the veil. You share the rest of that. What else? What do we want to tell everybody?
As we go behind the veil, I just want to remind you all, if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, or hey, you're blocking my shot, Pastor Troy, or Rumble, wherever you're watching us, guys, the broadcast is going to end for you at this moment, but jump on over to odx.tv, join us as a stage 2 or 3 partner, where the money that you spend to become a partner there goes to help us rescue kids all over the world every single day, and hey, you get the added bonus of all of the super amazing content, access to our conferences, and so much more. So at this time, we're going to leave you, if you're watching us on any other platform other than ODX, we're going to leave you with our plaque, our beautiful plaque that you see right here. No, we're going to leave you with a commercial that speaks to the heart of what we do. If you're watching us on ODX, we will be right back with you after this.
Human trafficking, the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen. It's not just a global problem, it's our problem, and it's closer than you think. In just 4 years of open borders, our nation became a trafficking superhighway, resulting in over 350,000 kids just vanishing. It's time to say, not on our watch, not on our land, and not to our children. Our team of rescuers has spent the last 30 years rescuing and raising over 11,000 kids here in the U.S. and all over the world. We have over 51 safe homes and more than 4,000 children in our care right now. But we could have 10 times that. We just need your support. Please call now and join our team of rescuers. Call 877-413-0888 or go to troybrewer.com. Get in this fight today, because if we don't show up for these kids, nobody else is coming.